a blowout and your hair and your color looks good.
Well, my color is you and that Kristoff, that which was great. And the blowout is Yamil at Dry Bar. You know, I found she's good. She's really, really good. So shout out to Yamil. Thank you. And, you know, she's been like very delicate because of...
You're happy hookah over there.
But you know what? It's so interesting. When we were talking about this tattooing today, I'm surprised that that's not happening on the scalp more. For things like this, when I see women who have like really, you know, you can see through their scalp, I wonder if...
I'm really going to push Dr. Ziering, the guy who did my hair transplant. I really want to bring him on. I've been hustling at him forever. He's been very busy traveling. But I really want to know if that's going to like further your hair loss, if it's going to harm the actual follicles left and cause more of a damage than a necessarily cool look.
Yeah.
Because I would do it tomorrow. I would fill my whole scalp in with pigment because I love that look. After I do like that fresh coat of paint from Kristoff, like it looks great the first 2 days. It looks so full. But, you know, I'm nervous that I will lose more hair if I do that.
Well, yeah. I mean, and you know what? It's, look, at the end of the day, I know people who are like, swear by microblading. For me and for you, you know, keeping it real here, and I love our guest. So knowledgeable and so honest, but keeping it real, it's not for me. I'm still too nervous. I think trends change too much. I think that...
you can always draw it on.
But you know what? At the end of the day, also, it's like, screw you, Amber. I've got good brows. So do you. So,
and
you know,
if you didn't have brows, this would be where you would go.
I would be running. But it does depend. You want to go to somebody who's really good. And I love that Emily had some great, great, great information, things that we didn't think about that we need to be aware of.
Thinking
like
about
New York
them.
Doesn't require... Like
we gotta research
training
that.
And license. Okay,
we have to research that for sure. She's not here. Love her, but we gotta know. I mean, that could have changed in a month. It's 2020. That could have changed, and I think it might have. So,
okay.
At the end of the day, you still have to do your research. You still have to do all the things. Like if you were getting your breasts done, how many surgeons before and afters? How many consults? How many? You gotta do it. It's permanently above your eyes. People look you in the eye and they're gonna look at your eyebrows for the rest of your life.
Yes. And it's not something, it's something that I feel like you're also going to have to make the commitment to, because as it fades, you're going to need to get it redone.
Forever. And ever.
And ever.
More reason, in my opinion, to be very cautious and love who you pick. And I mean, like, love them to the point where you want to really hang out with them. Because you're going to be hanging out with them for a while.
So what a segue into our guest today, Emily Joy from Dullistic. Because how much did we bond right away on
Rent the Runway, all the things. I think that's where you and I would be going to get our brows done. That's for sure.
For sure. And honestly, I would consider it for something like the lip blushing where, you know, as long as it stays within the lips, it's like...
It could be convenient for you.
And as long as it's not going to be, you know, some crazy color, it could be.
Red or pink.
Maybe. We'll see.
But yes, very informative, very, very, very eye-opening. We learned so much.
If you are thinking about getting microblading, this is a segment you want to listen to. You have to listen to.
We look like we're going on a safari today. We got the leopard. We got the snake skin.
So I have to tell you that this is, I do Rent the Runway. I live and breathe Rent the Runway. And this was the outfit I'd planned. And I laughed so hard in my head when I saw you come on because.
This is Rent the Runway too.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
What? I'm obsessed with it.
I bought this one.
Isn't it great? Because you can buy this stuff.
I couldn't give it back.
It's super cute. By the way, right now, just so you know, they have given our podcast a discount. So what I did was I signed up with a second account. It's $60 unlimited for the next 2 months.
Preach.
And then I'll cancel it.
That's so smart.
So if you want that code, I'll let you know. And for everybody else at home, because I'll probably just run with this, we'll put the code in the description. It's something so stupid, actually. It's like RTR, you know what, whatever.
It's probably saved me like, I don't even know, in 1 year, probably like at least $10,000 to $20,000.
Easy.
Though, in the dry cleaning alone, and you know, I don't want to sort of.
I didn't think about that. That's true. Yeah.
Every time you dry clean a dress, it's like $20, at least here in New York. And the dry cleaning alone was huge. And I just feel like my carbon footprint. And I know some people are like, well, you're shipping and they're dry cleaning stuff there. But I still feel like it's better than all of the disposable clothing.
Yes. Yes. And it kind of like satisfies the retail therapy need, you know?
The addiction. Sometimes that addictive.
You just shop to shop, you know?
Yes.
It satisfies that. So I don't find myself buying like useless shit anymore, which is great.
How long have you done it?
You know, I think I started it, I started around the holidays 2 years ago because I had so many holiday parties. But then I was like, this is great. And they have bags. And I feel like they keep getting better. Like their stuff's gotten better. Before it was kind of like basic, kind of like, you know, I don't know if I want to be seen in that stuff. But they've gotten kind of funkier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love them. Yeah. Except my drop off is kind of far from where I am. We're in the suburbs of, you know, from downtown DC. But I'll do the hike just to get back to the city.
Don't hate me. So I work my 9 to 5 non-podcast job is literally above the flagship store in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
I will go to work sometimes in like something like this, bring my gym clothes, change, and just drop it off and go on my way.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's really great.
Hi.
How are you? Pay attention to me. Hi.
I need to figure out how to do this for boys because I'm so over it.
I heard they're coming up with one. I can't remember the name of it. Oh. They have one on the it's on its way.
Thank God. It's so dumb not to.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I can't remember the name of it. It's coming soon.
Yahoo.
Yeah.
Okay. So now that we've totally done that 180 and our love of fashion, but look, you know what? That's why this is real. I preach Rent the Runway, but look, here it is. Real people doing it for real. Love it. I don't get paid by them, but I wish I did.
jealous.
So, I know.
No, I'm jealous.
Oh, you're jealous. You of us both. Look at us in our safari.
Oh, you even have thumb holes. That's awesome. Look at the thumb holes.
Are you going to laugh? And then Ryan will go. So I was just putting this on. And when I ordered it, I was like, AFRM, like Afram. And I just realized as I was like squeezing myself into it, I think it's Affirm.
Yeah.
AFRM. I think you're right.
So it's Affirm. And it is tight AF. So Emily, you are like the go-to when it comes to brows microblading. Ryan, have you ever done microblading?
I have not yet.
Okay. Right.
Brian, you have beautiful brows.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you. I went to a woman named Jamila and I started at 15 and she was epic and kept my brow like right where it needed to be. And I never went too thin and she never let me go too thin and all the things. I'm so grateful for Jamila for not ripping all my eyebrows off.
Yeah. You may be the only one in the world that doesn't
in the 90s.
Yes.
So I want to be honest because, you know, people come to us a lot and I think I've said it on the podcast before. When it comes to microblading, I've always been a little bit on the fence only because I've seen it, especially in women of color, I've seen really beautiful microblading. But in the fairer skin women, I find, I don't know, maybe I'm just not looking digging deep enough, but it's like a big thing, microblading. Like everybody's doing it. So what am I missing here?
You mean you're scared to commit because you've seen botched jobs? Is that what you mean?
And you know what I think it comes from? When I was growing up, my elementary school nurse, okay, she was my first exposure to like bad drawn on. You know, she probably had now, I was, 8 at the time, so I didn't know, but she probably had no brows and she probably just drew them on big in pencil and they were terrible. So I think that that has probably always left a sort of taste in my mouth. But microblading is essentially you're tattooing, right? Brows on. So doesn't that kind of fade? Doesn't it? I don't know.
I think your issue is the fading. And I think your issue is the tone when it fades can sometimes be not so perfect.
Right.
And forgive, we come from, we only want perfect. So that is our issue. I think number one, and I couldn't think of a better person to speak to, but you,
on
like how to navigate that fear.
Got it. Well, I'll tell you what, the fear is real. I mean, the people that aren't nervous and that don't do the research are the ones that can get into trouble. And before it was, you know, relatively new, there weren't a lot of people doing it and everybody was thirsty, but now more people are aware of the things that can go wrong. We've seen it on TV, we've seen it in magazines, we hear about it. Somebody knows somebody who's been botched by somebody else. And then what's also terrifying is actually, because you guys are in New York City, right? Mm-hmm. You're in New York. Different states have different regulations and requirements for permanent cosmetic artists. So New York is unregulated, which means maybe they don't have any minimum education required before licensing, which is terrifying because not only are we, tattooing faces, but two, we're dealing with blood, which could mean like not only do you get botched, but you also have
like some sort of a disease. Wait a minute. I want to stop there for a minute. So in order to do permanent cosmetic tattooing, right? Or permanent cosmetics is in New York, you don't need any certification or any license.
Many states keep changing. So I believe that there is a licensing now in New York City, but they don't have any education requirements. Like you pay some money and you get your license. And, you know, there's no like, you know, you go to hair school, you got to go to school for like a year and you learn how to highlight your cap and do all the, you know, outdated stuff. There's many states have no minimum education requirement. And the ones that do might not be teaching the right things. So there's a lot of wrong information and like the blind are teaching the blind. So there's for every good artist, there's probably 10 bad ones. So it's very important that you do your research and people should be scared. It's your face. It's a tattoo on your face. And it's your safety. Not only are we concerned about what it looks like, but is that artist working on you going to keep you safe?
And not cross-contaminate you and wind up with a flesh-eating disease.
Yeah, or, you know, hepatitis, which might, or something. Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So now that didn't really do a lot to alleviate my fears. No, but I'm glad you bring up that point. And so what are things that we should be looking for when we go to somebody? Like, what are the questions we should be asking them?
Sure. In today's age, I would ask not only for before and afters, but what do those brows look like healed, meaning in 4 weeks? Because when we're looking at somebody's portfolio, a lot of times they're looking at the right after the procedure has been done. But the surface itself, like think of injectables, think about any kind of,
cosmetic procedure.
It's like kind of like it changes, right? You get like, if you get filler, it's going to get a little swollen, maybe get a bruise, and then it looks good a little bit later. What does the pigment color change to in 4 weeks once it heals? What does the shape turn into? Maybe someone had a lot of bleeding during the procedure. So what looks like a hair stroke maybe is just like a tear in the skin. And so no pigment was actually inserted. So the shape can change. So really we're looking for healed results. That's the true after. That's what you're going to have long-term. So I would always ask for healed images from the artists you're researching. I would ask to see their bloodborne pathogens certificate. Even if the state doesn't require that, that's something that they need in order to know how to keep you safe tattooing you.
Can you say that one more time?
It's called a bloodborne pathogen certificate. It's something that should be done annually. It's just saying, hey, I deal with blood, but I know how to keep you safe.
And if they don't have these things, then you know what? Walk that's a like turn a bare around.
Minimum. Yeah, that's like the bare minimum. Bare minimum. Okay. You know, and also each state is different. So maybe find out what your requirements are in your specific state. I would also ask to see their insurance, because God forbid that something did go wrong. Do they have an insurance provider? Stuff like that. That's kind of, yeah.
And you know what? I feel like I jumped right into this, but for anybody who's listening and who might not know what microblading is, can you explain the difference between, you know, going and getting like a tattoo at a tattoo shop and microblading?
You know, honestly, there's not much different. Anytime you're implanting pigment or ink into the skin, it's a tattoo. I don't care if your girlfriend is giving you like a prison tattoo with like a safety pin at home, or you have a tattoo gun and you're in a tattoo shop, you're implanting some sort of ink or color into the dermis, into the skin, and that is a tattoo. So microblading is considered a manual tattoo. There's no cord, there's no bzzz noise. It's literally like almost like calligraphy, like style, almost like ice skating on the skin. So each little hair stroke is essentially a tear in the skin, and each tear is implanting pigment, which is why it appears to look like hair.
Because it's a little
it's
stroke.
A tear.
So
yeah.
What are you using to do that if it's not a gun?
It's literally blade. Like a little, it looks, yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of, it's not a blade. I don't know why they call it blade. It looks like a little, you know, those like grandpa combs that are like metal, like that your grandpa would use. Like, it's like a miniature little comb, and it's a row of needles.
Oh.
And it's attached to like a pen like device. And so those little needles are kind of flexible. So they give a little bit on the skin, and they kind of bend and just go boink along the skin and just implant the pigment with each little movement.
Okay. So what, right off the bat, so my mother, who used to pluck her eyebrows so thin back in the day, Mom, I know you're probably listening to this and ready to run out. Like, who is this good for? If you've got no brows, is this a good option? Do you need some brows? Will she look like my nurse?
You know, the hot topic right now is microblading, but I will say that more people may be a candidate for more of a traditional tattoo. Microblading, because it is, it's inserting the pigment with tears, there can be some people that aren't candidate for it. I would say anyone with mature, delicate skin, anyone that is on any blood thinning medication, someone that may have, underlying health issues, someone that's just going to be sensitive and bleed a lot. So a lot of my clients come in seeking microblading. That's what we're known for at Dolistic. But I may turn them towards or encourage them to seek out more of like a powder brow. And the powdered brows have come a long way since the 80s and 90s. You can now do like a pixelation. So it just kind of looks like a dusty kind of tattoo. It doesn't have to be a hard edge drawn on brow. It can be very soft and just look like your brow powder. So if it were someone mature that had delicate skin, I would probably encourage them to do more of a powder brow tattoo instead of microblading alone.
And so when you're saying powder brow, you actually, it's still a tattoo. It's just a type of tattoo.
Correct.
Interesting. Yes. Okay.
And it's less harsh than what your nurse was showcasing. And it's more of like a almost dotted dusting, like a flicker, yes, of like a paintbrush of a brow. Yes. Almost like you, yes, would do with your brow brush.
Yes.
Like fill
so
in
you don't
a
have
little.
To do it. You wake up and it's done. Yeah. Right. And so for someone that has no brow, I might suggest that to them, because maybe microblading alone won't give them the density that they want. Mm. You know, maybe it looks great at first, but then over time it's going to soften. You also don't get as much pigment in the skin, so it's going to fade a lot more rapidly, microblading versus to like a micro shading powder brow.
Okay.
It's just a different technique and it's a different device, but they're both still a brow tattoo at the end of the day.
And so now when you talk about fading, let's say because, you know, we think about things, certain cosmetic procedures, I don't get so scared about because it's like, all right, if you get filler and God forbid it's awful, they can dissolve it. Botox, pray to the Botox God, that never happens. But within 3 to 6 months, that's going to have some reversal. But when it comes to tattoos, there's really, once it's there, other than lasering it off, oof, I can't even, that must be so painful. Like, what can we do if something was to go wrong?
So, you know, this is, again, goes back to researching the right artist. There is a lot of misinformed people, and there's some wrong information out that's not factual about microblading, saying that in a year or so, it'll just disappear. I have been doing it for 6 years. I've never seen anyone of my clients come back with nothing. They all have traces of pigment in their skin. Yes, it's faded significantly, but let's just say, you didn't follow. I recommend everybody come back once annually, because then I can kind of keep tabs on what they look like. But I have had people go 5 years in between. So what does that look like after 5 years? It really depends on the person. I've had people come back and maybe it's just like a faded version of what they once had as far as the color goes, but I don't see any hair strokes. It's definitely dissolved into like a powder over time, like a really soft, like the hair strokes kind of blur and blur and blur and blur over time. And then it just looks like a really faint brow powder after time goes on. Now the color, that can depend on many things. And since you guys are into the beauty stuff, I'm sure you're taking really good care of your skin, right? You're taking, like, you know, what are you doing? Retinol, hydroxy acids, what are we doing? All the acids,
All the things.
So think that's to lighten and brighten, right? To treat hyperpigmentation. Well, my clients fall into that same category, right? They're worried about what they look like. So they're coming to get their brow tattooed. They also care about their skin.
Right.
So it's this battle I constantly have, because they're using like retinols and things to get rid of hyperpigmentation, sun damage, but then they're also brightening their brow tattoos. And their brow tattoos a lot of times will then alter in color. Wow. So when you see someone that has maybe like salmon colored eyebrows, I'm sure you've seen that on the streets. Have you seen that? Mm-hmm. Or like pinky, peachy tone.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of times that's due to skincare at home usage, maybe peels at the dermatologist. Maybe they're getting laser, you know, IPLs and things, and they're not doing anything to protect their brows. There could be fading. Let's say they have anemia and they are low on iron. And maybe they don't know that, right? Like a lot of people don't know they have an iron deficiency. Their brows have a small trace of iron oxide in the ingredients. And so their body might say, oh, yummy, this is exactly what I need, right? And so it eats at the pigment. And so when something changes color, right? Like let's say you start out with brown, it's not going to turn to salmon overnight. That's just never, it doesn't happen.
Sure.
You're going to see like, hey, this like looks a little funky in one area, or like the top might show like it's fading a little funky. That's when you need a touch up. It just means you need a touch up. It doesn't mean you're stuck with salmon eyebrows for the rest of your life.
I want to ask you about that, because there are certain things, and I want to clarify this, like there's certain procedures that you're going to do where you just got to sign into it for, I don't want to say forever, but for as long as you want that desired effect. So for example, Botox, right? Botox, it's not permanent. You're going to have to go get it. Things like the lashes, right? So I was doing lash extensions. The second that you don't have lashes, Latisse is another product. The second you stop using it, you're going to revert to your old brows. So your old lashes. For people who are considering getting brow tattoos, is that pretty much like you better make that commitment for the rest of your life?
You know, this is why you need a good artist. Right now, the trend, I'm sure you've seen, like, I'm sure in New York especially, the girls have kind of like the boy brows going on, right? Like these overgrown, really fluffy, kind of unkempt brow is the trend. All of the girls in Vogue have these fluffy, wild-looking brows. I have young girls come in and request that. For me to tattoo that, right? And I'm like, absolutely hell to the no, because that's going to go out of style for sure in like a year or five, I don't know. And then you're going to hate my guts. Then you're going to be really upset with me. Also, our faces unfortunately change, right?
And sag. Ryan, we've talked about this before.
Or lift.
Maybe like your, Or lip. Or Botox. Lip. Right. Okay, so both. So those are things, as an artist, because this is permanent, I need to take those into consideration. I need to know when to say no to my clients. And like, you know, some girls draw their brows really square. Well, and some of them like to bring them like really close together. Well, like what happens if you get like a crease right in the middle? Like what's here is going to come closer. And the next thing you know, you're like an angry bird or they like connect to the unibrow.
What happens in
40 years when you need your facelift?
So again, you know, a lot of people might have a low hanging brow and they're like, oh, please, like, can you just like shave it all off and give me a high arch? And I'm like, sure, I could do that. But like, what are the chances that you're going to get a brow lift or a facelift? Because if we bring it up and then you bring it up higher, then you're just going to look surprised all the time.
Crazy.
People are going to say, oh, what's wrong? You say, nothing's wrong. And you're going to say like this all the time. I also have a lot of girls that like those really dramatic, like long tails.
Yeah.
And so like, again, everything here is going to come south, right? So like, we can kind of come up and out, but we don't want to come down too far because we got to give our faces a little insurance to change.
Yeah.
Because this is permanent, you need to invest in an artist that knows what they're doing and knows how to keep you in the realm of safe as far as like your health and also what will this look like long-term. We're not going to do any trends. We're not going to do anything like too dramatic. This is how people see you when you have no lash extensions on, when you don't have your lipstick on, like, are you just going to have this long ass eyebrow? Like, you know, it's just, we save the drama for makeup.
We want to build that in after.
And so for me, like I'm extra all the time, most times, very rarely am I seen without makeup, but I definitely add more drama day to day. Like when I have my lips on, I'm going to add like a little bit more drama to my tail and make my brows a little bit bolder. But when my face comes up, I'm like a potato. Like I don't have any color. I just like, I don't want to just be like a walking eyebrow.
Right.
You know? So again, it goes back to really researching your artist and this is your face. It's a tattoo, you know? So your artist shouldn't agree with everything you ask for. They should know when to say no and guide you to the right shape for you.
So quick question, how do you feel that in the industry of hair transplants, they're now transplanting to eyebrows? What is your thoughts on that? Because so I have mine.
You had a hair transplant in your brows?
Not in my brow. I have my opinion on that. Go ahead.
So I have yet to see, I've seen many of my clients actually have invested in hair brow transplants. And I have yet to see one that is satisfied in something I feel like looks good. I think it's a great concept, but a lot of times the hair is taken from a place where like the hair naturally is coarse. So they get 60 effect, right?
Do they take pubic hair? Is that what they're taking?
That I'm not sure of.
Wait, when you say just like coarser back here.
They might take pubic hair. I don't know. We'd have to ask them. Maybe if that's the only, because maybe if they don't have hair anywhere else, they would, right?
I think they, no, I'm pretty sure it comes from the back of the neck. So I think it's really just, it's this hair that's transplanting to your facial hair. Oh my God,
wasn't there like a Saturday Night Live skit where they did the pubic hair and it was like, yeah, I hope they're not doing that. Jesus. If somebody wants to transplant your pubic hair to your face, run.
Wouldn't that give you more hair to then, you know, microblade with?
So what happens is, and I don't know if you've ever seen them close up. Again, it goes back to heal, right? Because maybe like the implant, it looks great. How much falls out over time? Mm-hmm. A lot of the times I've seen the client spend all this money and they're expensive. I think they're upwards towards like, what, like 10K?
Between 5 and 7, I think.
Okay, so it's not cheap, but you know, you want to just stay there. That's the point. But a lot of them end up looking pretty sparse over time. Maybe the implantation doesn't take properly. Also think a surgeon is a surgeon. They're not a brow artist. So what happens is they just like implant like hair everywhere. Sometimes I've seen that. And then where they implant the hair ends up looking like a little kind of almost like a goosebump. You look really close up. There's scar tissue that occurs when they're implanting the hair. So I'm not a fan.
So that, yeah, because they have to puncture the hole to then like plant the bulb.
Yeah. And I think it's a great concept. I just don't think we're there yet. I don't think the technology has been developed to perfect it. So I'm not a fan. And then they're really hard to tattoo once you have that because it's all scar tissue.
Got it.
And then what about like choosing the right color for something like this, right? So for people, Ryan, you know this. I mean, I've had hair at times it's been lighter. I've gone, I'm back to my natural color, but how do you maintain, you know, if somebody's, you know, you've got red hair, like what do we do?
So, you know, most of what I do here is vanity, but a lot of it sometimes is not. I deal with women that have no hair at all on their entire body, whether it's from alopecia or chemotherapy. And so it's actually about your skin. This is being implanted into your skin. Your skin is part of the color formula. So for me, I'm the color of see-through. So, you know, and I'm also very cool. I have very rosy tones. I'm kind of pink everywhere. So this is about someone who knows tattoo, pigment, and ink color theory. And this is the hardest thing that we do because it is not a science. And there could be a lot of right answers. Some of it might be your preference. Maybe you say, well, I always wear my brows brunette, but I'm really naturally a blonde,
right?
I'm naturally blonde, I dye my hair brunette. Okay, so I have to know how to make sure that if I implant this in your fair skin, that it doesn't turn blue, that it doesn't turn green, that it doesn't turn, you know, and I'm sure you've seen people of all colors with black tattoos in their arms. And if you're sitting on the sidelines, let's say you're watching a basketball game and we've got like the super white basketball player, the Asian basketball player, the light-skinned black guy, the dark-skinned black guy, but they all have tattoos in their arms, right? They're all in black ink. But from the bleachers, those colors look different. It's all black, but some of their tattoos look blue, some look green.
Sure.
But it's all really black, right? This is because their skin is different colors.
Right.
So
right.
Each color I implant, I could implant the same pigment into five different girls, and each one is going to have a different colored brow in a month. So
I feel like you the takeaway for this is that you really need to do your research. You need to make sure that they have the proper training, that they are have the bloodborne pathogen certificate. Was that correct?
Yes.
Bloodborne
pathogen. Yeah.
And look for those healed photos
healed
4
result.
Weeks after. Off the subject of brows, and I don't know if you do this in your studio, but I've heard a lot lately about the lip color. So are you doing that as well?
Yes, we're doing lip tattoos, lip blushing, we would call it.
Lip blushing.
Yes, I've had mine done. This is not a tattoo. It actually heals very natural. And again, it goes back to what you probably remember in the 90s, the girls had like those hard lip liner tattoos that just were, you know, very hard looking. Again, yeah, not soft at all. Now it's just going to heal like a lip tint. I don't know if you've ever put like a lip tint on. So again, it's very sheer. It doesn't have to be hard. It would never replace like what I have on now with this bold lip. It's just going to give you a little bit of color. I'm so fair that before my lip tattoo, I would wake up and it would almost look like I had hypothermia. I had like these bluish kind of fair lips. Mm. And so to just add a little bit of warmth to them just gives me life. And it's like my no makeup makeup.
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about it because like I can't wear lipstick. I just am biting my lips all the time. They're always dry, chapped. So I do everything in like a chapstick. But mm-hmm. I saw that and I was like, although.
And
again,
then as we age, you know, it's sort of like you lose even more pigment. Think of like a little girl, like a little boy. They have these beautiful pink full lips, right? When they're little. And then as you age, they kind of hypopigment. And it kind of starts to happen on the outside and then it just kind of shrivels and shrinks. And
it's so unfair.
Know, it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
But it's been scientifically proven that youth is proven through full brows and colorful lips. So
yes.
Like this has been like a case study that you can actually make yourself appear years younger through those two things alone. So yes, Yeah.
What do you think about scalp micropigmentation that the guys are doing now to fill in like the see-through areas or like the donut back here, or they're shaving their head and they're looking like they have like a buzz cut because they've really proceeded with the balding in the front. And it's literally a tattoo, right?
Yeah, I think it's great. We're actually going to start to offer it in February. So I think it's great. Women are also offering it. I have pretty fine hair, like in my part. So I sometimes put a little bit of makeup there, but like to just not have to worry about that is great. And a lot of men will shave their head when they start to kind of recede, right? Just because they like want to look cool instead of bald. But now like they could literally could just correct your
hairline.
And it just looks like you're a badass and you shaved your head. So not that you're, you know, so I think it's awesome. Or men who've had the hair transplant, they get that scar in the back to just disguise that.
You can fill that in. Yeah. Or any scar in any head on anyone.
Yeah. Yes. I think it's
women's
amazing.
Women's facelift scars can be toned down. I think it's awesome. I didn't know you were going to offer that. That's really cool.
Yeah. And then we also started to offer areola restoration. So for women,
that's so wonderful.
Like eyeliner. And eyeliner's come a long way too. Yeah.
I feel like my sister really wants to do eyeliner, but I'm like, really? I don't know.
We've been doing guyliner.
Oh. That I can definitely, that I get.
Yeah.
You get like a little pigment and all you have to do is like dot the lash line. So it's like undetectable. It's just going to kind of give your eyes like a pop. Make your lash line look denser. Yeah. So again, it can be undetectable. It really depends on your style. I'm totally okay waking up looking like I'm going to the club. Like I'm totally okay with that. But for some people, they don't want that. If you don't want it to be detectable, we just would do really minimal. And then you can test drive it. And if you ever want more, you could always do more in the future. But I always say start with less with tattoos. Start with less.
Yeah.
See how it heals. Even with brows, you can always do more with your makeup.
And then what is the cost for something like this, for like a microblading of the brows?
I think it really varies depending on what region you're in and how much experience the artist has and the demand of the artist. So I would say anywhere from $500 to $1,500.
Okay, so it's an investment. Gotcha.
It's an investment, but it's permanent. So, you know, it's going to save you loads of time in the morning. It's really a luxury to be able to wake up and not stress about like whether your eyebrows are even or, you know, is one melting off at work or, can I go swimming? You know, can I go swimming with my kids and not have to worry about what I look like?
Yeah.
Like it's truly a luxury. And it's so liberating to just feel confident and not have to worry about those damn things anymore.
I had a friend who like refused to shower with her boyfriend because her eyebrows would come off.
I know. We hear those stories all the time.
She microbladed. She was like, in the shower we go. Like she was like, we are doing
it. It's so amazing.
It is.
We hear those stories all the time. I'm a huge fan of Dolly Parton.
Mm-hmm. You know Dolly? Yeah.
So I've been hitting her up. I've been sliding her DMs. She doesn't read them, but one day maybe she will. I really want to tattoo her brow. So she said that her husband's never seen her without makeup on. She will go to the bathroom, close the door, wash her whole face off, and then put on her like nighttime makeup. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's Dolly Parton. You don't have to do that. Like, let me help you, girl. So yeah, this is a very common. I know.
Yeah.
Good for her. This is a very common thing. Or, you know, so we hear stories like that all the time.
I will say, and again, I don't have the experience with the microblading, but when I had the lash extensions, which I know are terrible for your lashes, but man, it's so great to just like wake up and be like, hello.
I know. I have some right now and I love it. I just love it. It saves me so much time.
It's so much time. You can't duplicate it with. I won't say you can't. I don't personally have the skill to put on the strips every day. I do have a friend who does, and she used to do lash extensions, and you can't tell the difference. So, like, if you've got that hand and you can do that, God bless. But,
But also, they're heavy. I feel like
it's a luxury.
I, like, by the end of the day, if I'm wearing a strip, I gotta, like, feel like I gotta, like, you know, give a little push-up. So, I feel like, you know, yes, it is a luxury. Definitely a luxury. But saves me so much time.
That's what we're all about here is sort of giving people the options, giving them the information so that they can decide what they want. So Emily, thank you so much for this.
You're welcome.
For, you know, because listen, at the end of the day, like you said, it's permanent. It's something that you shouldn't take lightly. But if that's something that you want and that you need, do the research and you can have beautiful, wonderful results. If people want to see some of your incredible before and afters, where can they go?
If you have Instagram, just look up our handle, Dollistic. It's Dollistic, or you can go to dollistic.com.
Awesome. And can people reach out to you directly? Should they DM you?
They can DM me through Dollistic, or my email is right on the website. It's emilyjoy@dollistic.com.
Awesome. And of course, if you guys have any questions you want us to pass on to Emily, we're always happy to do that. You can reach out to us at hello@artbeautypodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Art Beauty Podcast.
Also check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/artbeautypodcast. And as always, we're going to see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.